You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Interesting end to a newscast, Dan.
Well, you know, I had my tap shoes on and I was doing a little tap dancing. And
very I'm nice.
Okay, let's move on.
we have a special guest we need to get to. Story here from the Associated Press. Kyle Busch died after severe pneumonia progressed into sepsis, resulting in rapid and overwhelming complications, according to a statement released by his family over the weekend. Dakota Hunter, who is vice president of Kyle Busch Companies, said in a news release the family received the medical evaluation on Saturday.
So we knew even a couple of weeks prior to his death, he was complaining of a sinus infection. Mm-hmm. And over the weekend, I ran into more people that wanted to talk about this, Scott. And I'm not, I don't follow motorsport racing. I had friends that don't follow racing, but they all wanted to know, how the heck does a perfectly healthy 41-year-old professional athlete mm-hmm. in the shape of his life is just here one day and gone the next? So I reached out to our friends at University of Kansas Health System, and they have connected us with pulmonologist and critical care specialist Dr. Steven Simpson to help us understand, in cases like this, Dr. Simpson, how something like this might happen.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks. Thanks for bringing this up. This is very important. Because let me give you a couple of numbers here as we're going. Sepsis kills over 350,000 people a year in the United States. Some of them are young, like Kyle Busch. Not all. But it's important. So sepsis is the your body's response to a bacterial infection. So the more severe the infection, i.e. maybe the more bugs you have or the more virulent the bug, your body can react violently trying to fight off the infection and the side effects of that fight when your white blood cells go attack these bacteria are a whole lot of proteins and things that are damaging the bacteria but also damaging to you. So it causes organs to fail.
Can you help us understand, Dr. Simpson, this starts out as a sinus infection. No one yes. is going to go to the hospital with a cold or a sinus infection. So at this is kind of like where the devil is in the details. At what point do you need critical care? Is there just a ledge that you fall off of?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it is about the right description. We know, so the kinds of things that a person can experience with sepsis are a very rapid heart rate, rapid breathing, mental status problems. People may notice you're a little confused when you shouldn't be. Your oxygen saturations may be low. Not everybody checks all these things, right? Your blood pressure may be low. Not everybody checks these things. We rely on ourselves and our own judgment about what our body does. And many times you will find that healthy people like Mr. Busch kind of ignore just how bad things are, thinking I'll just bulldoze my way through this. It'll all be okay.
But at some point he knew, Dr. Simpson, that something was wrong, and even radioed from his race car, I need to get to a doctor. I need, quote, the shot. Does that mean anything to you?
I have heard that. I suspect that he was saying that. I don't know details. Again, I know nothing about the details of this case, but it sounds like perhaps his doctor may have given him an intramuscular injection of an antibiotic that perhaps was not enough to fight off infection, especially once it has become sepsis. You need adequate doses of antibiotic. They are absolutely necessary to the cure, but they sometimes are not enough once your body has gone into the spiral of organ dysfunction.
Is there a window in which, doctor, if someone checks you out appropriately, this can be reversed?
Absolutely. In fact, I have devoted the last 30 years of my career to training doctors, nurses, EMTs, paramedics, respiratory therapists to understanding when they're dealing with something more serious than a simple infection. So yes, if you get the medical attention on time, the signs and symptoms are relatively standard. Not always. Some people don't develop the typical signs and symptoms, but most people do. And if we pick that up at the right time, yes, we can intervene with adequate antibiotics and IV fluids and stop it in its tracks.
Does it take an X-ray, though, Doctor, like a chest X-ray to see it?
Not necessarily. So if you have pneumonia and you're a well-trained physician, we understand what the signs are, what things he might tell us, like a cough. He maybe was coughing up bloody or rusty-colored sputum, probably was having some pain with breathing or with coughing. Your chest may feel like somebody's stabbing you with an ice pick, and I should be able to put my stethoscope on you and hear the pneumonia. And that's when I would pull the trigger on antibiotics, but it certainly is helpful to have a chest X-ray.
Does sepsis always come from pneumonia or from other illnesses?
Yes, it can come from any infection, any time, in any person. But pneumonia happens to be the single most common cause of sepsis. But urinary tract infection, ruptured bowel, of course, that spills intestinal contents, skin infections, any sort of infection can do this.
This is so educational, Doctor, and thank you for your time, because I'm reading, while anyone with pneumonia can develop sepsis, the risk increases if you're older, if you have a weakened immune system. Of course, that wasn't Kyle Busch. And then I read that sepsis itself is not an infection. I went my whole adult life thinking sepsis was the infection that killed you. You're saying it is the response, your body's like overcharged response to trying to save you.
Yeah, well said. That's exactly what I
had
saying.
No idea. I always thought you went in and maybe the instruments when you know, well, she went in and had surgery and she got something in there and she got the sepsis. And that's not what this is at all. So this is very, very educational for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right. You're right. You can have contaminated equipment. I think that's what I heard you say. Mm-hmm. And that's where the infection begins. Within your abdominal cavity, by the way, is a place where it's very hard for your body to control infections. So they often do get out of control and cause sepsis.
What if somebody is ill, what are the warning signs, the symptoms that, hey, you might have the sepsis?
Warning signs would be, actually there's an organization out there called Sepsis Alliance, mm-hmm. which is probably the largest public awareness national organization in the country. And as for full disclosure, I'm the chairman of the board of that organization right now. But we have a couple of different things that we tell people. One is that sepsis is about time, T-I-M-E, and that stands for temperature. So if you have a high fever, or actually if you happen to notice that your temperature is substantially lower, or someone who takes your temperature notices that, that's also a bad thing. Signs of an infection that you can look at, like if you know you have pus, if you know you're coughing up bad stuff from a pneumonia. Mental status change, if the people around you notice that. And also, people will often feel extremely ill when they have sepsis. Many people have told me this is the worst I've ever felt in my life. Now, not everyone feels that way subjectively. I mean, we talk about around KU, we talk about the typical Kansas farmer who will work on the tractor until he's on death's door before he lets someone bring him into the hospital.
I was actually going to ask you that, Dr. Simpson. Is it possible that your perfect health is actually a detriment to you in a case like this, where someone perhaps like a Kyle Busch or like the farmer that you described, they are so healthy that maybe they can go on a little bit longer than the rest of us, under circumstances that, you know, maybe Scott or I would be rushing into a hospital to figure out what was wrong.
Yeah, I think that's entirely possible. And how bad you feel, obviously, that's subjective. Different people feel bad about different things. And when you got a job to do and you're out there doing your job, you often ignore how bad you feel just because you are driven to get that job done.
Real quick, Dr. Simpson, before we let you go, is the reason that you succumb to this, do your organs shut down? Like, what actually kills you?
Yeah, what actually kills you ultimately, yes, is that multiple organs in your body will shut down. Your blood pressure will become low so that you're not getting adequate blood flow to those organs. They'll have to start functioning without adequate oxygen, and they'll produce lactic acid. And ultimately, it's the cumulative effect of the organs shutting down that gets you.
Dr. Stephen Simpson with the University of Kansas Health System, thank you for your time and your expertise. Really appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
Be well, doctor.
All right, be well. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Coming up a little later, we'll talk about the enhanced games where you're encouraged to use steroids.
Oh, I cannot wait.
And other performance-enhancing drugs.
You know, that was a Saturday Night Live skit. It actually was a Saturday Night Live skit.
By the way, from Hollywood to real life as well, the Simpsons writer who predicted Donald Trump's presidency back in 2000 in an episode of The Simpsons is running for president himself.
Okay.
He knows the future.
His name is Dan Greeny.
Yeah.
And in an episode in 2000 called Bart to the Future, a dressed up Lisa is cleaning up the mess from a then theoretical Trump presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now running for president.
Which, by the way, only giving him credit for the Trump presidency prediction.
Oh, it's
is
way more than that.
Really unfair. Murder bees, COVID, Ebola, yeah. All of it.
Do you guys see Ferrari has a new Ferrari has a new electric vehicle?
What's wrong with that?
It is the world's ugliest Ferrari ever made.
It is $640,000, and it looks sort of like a Honda Civic.
A lot of people on Reddit were comparing it to the newer Nissan Leaf.
Yes.
It looks exactly like the Nissan Leaf.
And what is the, let me look up the hoity-toity name for it. I don't remember the name. It is something that is definitely, oh, by the way, the car is so ugly, Ferrari shares plunged 5% today.
Really?
The car is so ugly, shares of Ferrari dropped 5%. It's called the Luce.
I'm sorry?
How do you pronounce, Sam? L-U-C-E.
I believe that's right. Luce. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is the Italian word for light.
Oh, see, that one's wrong because it's the Italian word for we didn't sell any.
It can hit... now, here's what I don't understand. It can hit 60 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds. My car beats that.
Yes, it does.
Your car is fast.
It can hit 60 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds. Now, its maximum speed is 192. I don't know that my car does that, or I don't know that I would want any car to do that. But there it is, and it's sky blue, and that is one ugly car.
Well, I'm sure it comes in other colors besides sky blue.
Really, the design is what makes it so ugly. The color, not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, the Plaid is, the Tesla Plaid will do 192 or whatever.
Never been in the Plaid.
Yeah.
Okay. New survey finds that Americans are turning to cheese, Sam, not just for the taste, but for the protein.
Uh-huh.
Thought you would appreciate this as a personal trainer. Would anyone care to guess the states where cheese is the most popular?
Wisconsin.
No.
Then they're wrong.
Didn't even make the top 10.
I would guess all of the Midwest states. Okay. Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, all of us.
Nebraska? Okay, we're moving on.
Okay.
Oklahoma, Arkansas?
No.
Wow.
Stop.
Okay. Wow.
America's favorite cheeses.
Brie.
What?
Brie. It's the best cheese. Everyone knows that.
It's not even in the top 10.
Firmly disagree with that comment.
Cheddar.
Number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gruyere. So
this isn't going to be like fancy cheese. No. Not that Brie is fancy.
Velveeta.
That's not even a cheese.
Is American a cheese?
No.
Yes, number four.
Okay, it's really not.
Well, American's on there.
The rubbery cheese.
Cheese product.
Swiss, I'm not a fan, but I
number
bet it's
10.
On there. Okay, 10, Swiss.
You're not, that's my favorite cheese.
What about Munster? I love me a good Munster, and I love me a good Havarti.
Nope.
What about Blue?
Nope.
No Blue?
Wait, what?
I'm just reading the list, guys.
What about that Colby Jack?
Number eight.
Yeah. You got to go with what you see at Hy-Vee.
You got four of the 10.
Mozzarella, duh.
Number two.
Yeah.
Parmesan.
Number three.
Ooh.
Yeah, we were missing big ones.
American is number four. Keep going.
Colby Jack. No, Pepper Here. Jack.
Number nine.
People love Pepper Jack. I don't.
I love Pepper Jack.
What are we missing?
Okay, you're missing number seven, Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack.
Oh, all the Jacks, I mean.
All the Jacks.
Yeah. Number six, provolone.
Provolone?
Mm-hmm. I like me a little
not
provolone.
Not a good deli sandwich.
Number five, is this really a cheese? Cream cheese?
It is, yes.
Yes.
Technically, cottage could also be on that
Brie
list.
Is better.
Okay.
Hmm.
You would think Wisconsin would be number one. The number one most
Maybe it's like potatoes in Idaho.
Cheese,
you're sick of it.
Cheese enthusiastic state is Wyoming.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When we get back, maybe later in this hour, maybe right when we get back. I don't know. I don't know yet. There was the most amazing post on Facebook over the weekend from the Lawrence Police Department. One of the best social media accounts. If you don't follow them,
Amen.
Run, do not walk. And what happened, Scott, over the last several days, and they do not suggest that you do this.
They said not something we would recommend.
Was that a woman saw a man stealing things from her car.
Yep.
And she decided to chase him down, tackle him, and get her stuff back. Again, they say not recommended, but in this case, it worked. And I think in the process, she may have uncovered other crimes. We have asked her to call in. We're not going to use her real name and explain what was going through her mind.
Is she calling?
Yep. When she just did the deal, Scott. She saw him, saw the crime, and thought, you know what? I'm going to take a bite out of crime myself.
Bite out of his ass.
Oh, I love this story.
Is she calling in right after the bottom of the
hour? She is going to call in this hour and explain. We're not going to use her real name.
Okay.
You know, I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah.
It worked.
All right. Terrible jokes at 4:45. Do I have a second?
Oh, yeah.
Aye.
Okay. Do I have a third?
You have a third.
Okay. Terrible jokes at 4:45 this afternoon here on Dana and Parks. All right. Story here from Channel 9. Lawrence police say this is not something that they recommend, but they admit that a woman's aggressive reaction to seeing someone stealing things from her car worked after an incident early Sunday morning. Police say that a woman was awake around 2:30 Sunday morning when she saw that the dome light in her car was on, then noticed a man rummaging through her console. That's when the woman took matters into her own hands. Quoting here from the police department on their Facebook page, although it's not something we recommend, it worked. The woman reportedly chased the man, tackled him to the ground like a linebacker, and then placed him in a leg lock until he gave up and helped her find her items that he had scattered during the chase. And that woman joins us on the KMBZ hotline. We are going to use the name Angie. In Lawrence. Hello, Angie. That's not your real name.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
So he wanted to be helpful after all this went down. How did you explain this to me? You look out, you see the dome light on. Obviously, someone is someplace they should not be. And is it your first reaction to go out and confront him?
Yeah, I kind of just acted. Like, I didn't really think about it. I just did.
Were you afraid?
I mean, afterwards, when I thought about it, I was like, damn, that was not a good idea. So I'm glad it worked out.
That is correct. So you come running out. Angie's blazing. You're like, here I am. What are you doing? What do you say? And then how does he respond?
And keep it clean. Keep it clean, because I know you used a bad word.
I think I was a little justified given the situation.
Yes.
But I walk out my, I like go out my door. I yell, hey. He just bursts down the road. And he apparently had this like little like electric scooter parked down in my apartment complex. I'm chasing down him down on foot. He gets on it, does a U-turn, realizes it's a dead end on that end. And as he turns around, he sees me, fumbles hard. And I remember jumping at him and going for the tackle. The next thing I remember is I have him in a leg lock with my arms around his collar.
He was on a getaway scooter but did not get away.
No, he did not.
What did he say?
He was the one trying to get me to calm down and be like, hey, I'm not going to hit women. Like, and just like, hey, I'm chilling out. I'm stopping.
I'm not going to hit women.
I will steal from you, Angie, but I'm not going to hit you.
Yeah. That did not make me feel any better about him.
So at what point does he, according to the story from Channel 9, you let him up. Is that correct?
Yes, but I kept hold of him. The only time he was very, very upset that I wouldn't let go of him. So he handed me his phone so I would have something to like hold him accountable, I guess, like a teacher.
Oh, like when you check out a library book, you know, they want your deets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically that's what he did. And so I made him help me find my stuff. Because you stole it, now bring it back.
And he did?
Yes. For about like 20, 30 minutes.
And he never ran?
Not once. Instead, he did the opposite and actually hit on me.
No, he did not hit on you, Angie.
What did he say, and keep it clean?
He, after like we were searching around a while, he's like, not going to lie, you chasing me down and tackling me was kind of hot. Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
So did he apologize? What? I mean, you guys are in the dark. It's 2 a.m. You're looking in the grass for your belongings.
Yes.
And I can't even, so there's no one else around you. He could have been a serial killer. I'm glad that he wasn't.
Could have been armed.
I think he realized after I tackled him, he was going to do what I said.
Do you have any background, Angie, in Taekwondo or
football,
kung fu fighting?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope. I'm just a farm kid.
Yeah. Did he apologize?
Multiple times, all the way to crying multiple times.
He was crying?
At least two or three times.
Wow. What had he taken, by the way? What did you end up getting back?
He just started stealing from me, so he just had enough time to go through my wallet and steal my flashlight out of my car.
The nerve.
Mm-hmm. The nerve.
Like, it's not that it was a $5 flashlight. It's more the fact of, like, really?
Yeah.
Really? And it was, like, some cash. I think it was, like, a little less than $50. Like, it wasn't much. It was just more of, like, the principle of it for me.
So are you guys heading to the Mad Greek, or are you going to Teller's? Where are you headed?
Oh, my God. I don't swing that way.
Angie, this has been a delight, and we're glad you are okay. We will reiterate that, you know, probably not the go-to response just for your safety next time, but I'm proud of you for handling it.
Terrible idea. I just kind of saw red and then made things happen.
Yeah. I can hear my mother going, what were you thinking?
So he wasn't arrested, was he, Angie?
Yes, he was.
He was arrested immediately afterwards. Like, after he found my stuff, apologized and cried a couple times, I got my stuff back and I told him, don't come back, with a couple more words than that. Okay. And then I called the police. I was like, hey, this just happened. I don't know what to do because I got my stuff back. But here's the address. This is where it happened. And they're like, okay, cool. We'll be right over. And I was like, oh, okay.
When he was crying, what was he saying?
Oh, he was doing the thing where you're in a bad situation and you're just trying everything you can to get out of the bad situation.
Oh, yeah.
So I got everything. I got the spark notes of all of everything that's ever happened bad to him, how his mother was terrible, how he's already been through the jail system, how he's thinking about killing himself, or like how his girlfriend dumped him today. And I was like, I don't care. I want my stuff back.
His girlfriend!
It's not an excuse from stealing from me.
That's right.
Angie, I love you so much. And you know what? I think, you know, he's going to do some shock time. And then I think that child needs therapy, Angie. Would you not agree?
No, he needs to be held accountable for his actions.
Yeah.
Like, if he's going to act like a two-year-old, he needs to be treated like one.
Angie, we love you so much. I don't even know what else to say.
You're like a little superhero.
I was honestly very surprised that I just did that. I'm glad it worked out in my favor.
Yeah.
When the police showed up, because they write on their Facebook page that we do not recommend this, what did they say to you when they arrived? I would assume this would probably be about 3:30 in the morning at this point, mm-hmm. to arrest the crybaby. What did they say to you?
They said it was a very atypical case, and they were extremely professional about it.
Yeah.
And I got to give them prompts. I am surprised that the officer did not burst out cackling.
Yeah. Well, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, Angie, and right. And your burglar did.
I'm used to living out in the country or the boondocks, where if I get a police response in 30 minutes, that's fast. I'm used to like taking care of things myself, and then if the cops show up, it's like, okay, cool, now let's do the paperwork, I guess.
Well, we are glad you are okay, and thank you for sharing your story.
All right. It was lovely talking to you guys.
Be well and be safe.
Don't ever do it again.
I'll try my best.
Okay. Be well. Goodbye.
He hit on me. I'm like, what?
You know, you coming out and tackling me
is kind of hot.
Kind of hot. What'd you say, weirdo?
I heard his whole sob story. His mother was terrible and his girlfriend dumped him.
Well, he was freshly broken up with.
I mean,
you know,
his mom's terrible.
Some people go and have a beer and talk it out with friends. Other people break and enter.
You're laying on a sidewalk at 2:30 in the morning. I'm laying on a sidewalk at 2:30 in the morning, you know.
Make better choices, sir.
The fact that she got him into a chokehold with her legs around his neck.
Epic.
I'm not going to lie. That is kind of hot. That is hot.
He will think twice before entering a car that does not belong to him.
9135.
You see a scrunchie and run.
913.
By the way, fun fact from our friends at the Lawrence Police Department. Hmm. I swear to you, the T-shirt she was wearing when all of this went down.
Oh, please.
Red, feeling stabby. Oh, God. So good.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Hey, if you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcast, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Got terrible jokes coming your way at 4:45 this afternoon. We moved it back a little bit. So go ahead and start sending in your jokes around 4:25, 4:30. Just remember that they have to be arable and terrible. So think dad jokes.
I have an example right here if you want one.
Yeah, Sam, what's going on?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam, what's up?
Did you know that my father fought in World War II?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, he came home with one leg.
Huh.
We never did figure out whose it was.
Oh, my gosh. Samuel.
Terrible but arable. 445.
Very good. Chipotle is trying something new. They're adding a new protein. By the way, I hate it when you're at Chipotle, and I love Chipotle, but I hate it when they say, and what's your protein going to be?
Why do you not like that?
Why not just say meat?
Because not all...
Not everyone's a meat eater. Maybe their protein's beans.
No, it's sort of like, my daughter is not vegan or vegetarian, but when we go out to, say, like Bamboo Pennies, she always gets the tofu. Tofu is protein, but it's not meat.
I hate protein. Or I hate tofu. I love protein.
Huh. Well, they're trying out a new protein. It is breaded chicken.
Breaded? We're going to add calories to what otherwise was baseline pretty healthy before you dump the cheese and the sour cream on it? Okay.
Crispy chicken is their brand new menu item at select locations only in California at the moment. The protein option features breaded hand-cut chicken with a crunchy coating. This actually sounds pretty good.
I was going to say, I think I'll have to give it a try. I don't think they've ever had a bad new item.
As my brother always says, I'm going to give it a day in court. Juicy interior that can be added to burritos, tacos, salads, or bowls, just like any of their other proteins.
They just had their spicy chicken. It was a limited time thing, and we got it every single time we went in. It was so good.
By the way, you left out the price of the Porsche Luce.
$640,000. It was a Ferrari, by the way, that looks like
Ferrari,
an Nissan.
Sorry.
What I want you guys to do if you are ever at a red light and you look over and someone is driving this $640,000 Ferrari, I'm begging you, roll down your window and say, hey, buddy, I love your Nissan.
Oh, yeah. Every time.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get your Nissan? Did you get that on the Miracle Mile in Independence? I love it.
Guess who is heading to Spain tomorrow for 3 months?
Oh, I'm excited for her, Scott.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I'm excited and nervous at the same time.
You're a world traveler. Your kids should be world travelers.
I understand. And she is. She just got back from Peru last October, I think it was, or last summer. But anyway, she's on the phone with the U.S. Embassy in Spain today. And she calls me. She goes, Dad, you're not going to believe this. I think I might have tickets to go see the Pope. And I go, the Pope? Apparently, while she's in Spain over the summer, the Pope is coming to Spain.
Yeah.
And she was on the phone with the U.S. Embassy trying to work out whatever it was she was trying to work out. And they said, well, are you going to be here all summer? And she's like, yeah. And they're like, well, you know the Pope's coming. Do you want to go see the Pope?
Oh.
And Maya's like, don't mind if I... We're not even Catholic.
That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it looks like she might get to go see the Pope this summer.
Did you see the Pope spoke out against AI over the weekend? Did you see this, Sam?
No, what'd he say?
Not good,
I think
Scott.
It's in the journal.
Not good.
Impending doom and death?
Yeah.
Probably, I didn't see what he said. I'm just going to go ahead and guess something about worshiping false gods.
If you are looking to AI for help identifying paint colors for your house, I think we should allow that. Or if you are trying to sequence the genes that lead to Alzheimer's or certain cancers, I think we should allow that. But I don't know how to allow those things and not allow, like, the machines to take over the world.
So this is from the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Pope Leo warned that artificial intelligence, quote, threatens to normalize an anti-human vision, and that the concentration of immense digital power in the hands of a few private actors must be countered. He compared it to the construction of the Tower of Babel, which symbolizes a top-down grandiose project where decisions were driven by pride, profit, and a push. The Pope suggested in his letter, in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, diverse people worked together to rebuild the ruined walls and then it goes on to page A10, and I don't have time to switch
over. But the problem, and you know this, is that working together to put this genie back in the bottle, China would have to say, okay, we'll stop doing this.
Well, it's like...
The United States would say, okay, we'll stop.
It's like climate change.
Yeah, you go first.
You can't counter what everybody else is doing if you're the only one trying to counter it.
There's only one way to put the genie back in the bottle, and that would be to shut down all servers. The genie is not rebottleable.
Hmm.
A lot of genies to shove into a lot of bottles.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good times. Good times. News with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.